technical difficulties around the controller. Okay, good evening, everybody. Welcome to part four of Hilchos Boder. Welcome to all the... I see a few new faces. Welcome. Hope you enjoy. Let's just review what we did last week. Last week, we actually started with a question, with your question about navel oranges versus juice oranges, or being Borer, Granny Smith apples from Macintosh, etc. And I told you that Rabbi Shechter says it's okay. Just for the record, I actually just saw a few hours ago, actually less than a few hours ago, that there is a Sefer on Hilchos Borer called Ayil Mishulash, who actually does say that Granny Smiths would be a problem, because Granny Smiths are tart and other apples are sweet. If you'd have two different sweet apples, I think that they wouldn't differentiate as two minim, and therefore you can separate your Fujis from your Cortlands and probably your Macs, because that's all one min. So you could, if you just want the Cortlands because you want to, let's say it's baking, let's say you want to take out the Macintosh, let's say you want to only have the Macintoshes left because you don't, the Cortlands you don't want now because they're for like more baking, sort of. So you're going to remove the Cortlands that you don't want. Since it's all probably the same min because they're all sweet apples, that would be okay, even though you're removing what you don't want. However, if you're removing the Granny Smiths because you don't like tart apples, you only want sweet apples, that the Sefer Ayil Mishulash would say it's a problem. Okay, that's just going back to last week. Also last week, we talked about if things are different only in color, but not in taste or in functionality, then again, you can separate. So let's say it's a Yom Ha'atzma'ut, and you want to get rid of all the pink and white cookies, and you only want the blue and white cookies. You can remove the pink and whites, because pink food coloring and blue food coloring, I think, does it taste the same? It all tastes the same. I think my kids will swear that if they don't, but Ariella will swear that pink is better, and Menachem will swear that blue is better, but I'm assuming that they taste the same, they're just different in color, and they have the same purpose, assuming that. I think that's fair to say. Unless we say that on Yom Ha'atzma'ut, pink and white cookies have no purpose, only blue and white cookies have purpose. But let's assume that they have the same purpose, and they taste the same, just difference in color does not distinguish something into two separate minim, and therefore you could take away all the pink and whites, and you'll be left with all the blue and whites for your Yom Ha'atzmaut party. Last week we also talked about separating silverware. If you're taking stuff out of the dishwasher and you want to put it away, so you're not going to be able to pick out the forks to put them away, but you could take whatever comes to your hands from the dishwasher, and once it's in your hand, you could decide where you want to put it. Do you want to put it in the fork section, or the knife section, or the spoon section? That we said would be okay. Last week, we also learned an important kula from the Mishnah Berurah, that if things are piled one on top of another, if they're piled one on top of another, even though that probably is sort of a ta'aroves, but if the only way to get to the bottom one is to remove the top levels, that would be okay. Classic example is, you go for a Shabbos meal, for an oneg, for a Hanukkah party. I know when we have Hanukkah parties coming up, I know when our family gets together in Bli Ayin Hara, we have 30, 40, 50 people coming together, and it's in somebody's house, and you throw your coats on one of the kids' beds. So if you got there early and your coat is on the bottom because you wanted to leave early, so you're going to be in trouble because you have to remove all those coats. So if there would be a Shabbos party, not just a Hanukkah party on a Sunday afternoon, if that would be on Shabbos, Rav Moshe Feinstein says you are permitted to lift up the coats you don't want, even though you're removing the psolas, what you don't want, because it's just in the way. You're not actually taking bad stuff. You're just getting it out of the way. You're removing it from being in your way. Then we finished last week with an interesting discussion of what happens if your psolas that you don't want, the stuff that you want to remove, is only halachically problematic. It's not physically different. For example, what were the two examples we gave last week? Rolls. You have a shalem and not a shalem, so it's the same bread. Bread is bread. But you want to remove all the things that had a bite taken from them so that you could put out the bag of rolls for shalosh shudas. So you're removing the bad ones. Why are they bad? Only for halachic purposes. That we also saw was a machlokas. If halachically defined psolas is considered psolas. And then, of course, we finished with the fun discussion at the end of last week with filtering water. And I'm sorry I had to rush at the very end of last week. Did I tell the story about... I don't think I told the story. Let's just review the point, and then I'll see if I told the story. If you live in New Jersey, and you don't like drinking New Jersey water, so chances are most people will drink from a tap in New Jersey, even though you and your friends don't. But if you go to the park, and there's a random kid who's playing in the park, 7 out of 10 parents will let their kid take a sip from the water fountain in Votee Park or wherever else you're playing in Teaneck. So therefore, that shows that people in general do drink the water. If you don't, that's your problem. That's not going to make, you're not going to mess us up. You're not going to make it defined as water that has dirt in it. Rather, since most people will drink it as is, it's considered clean water. They're not too meanim, like solace, the dirt that you don't want, plus water, which you do want. And therefore, you would be able to filter your water, both with a Brita filter, as well as a tap filter. However you want to filter your water in New Jersey, that's totally fine. Let's say, however, New Jersey gets even worse than it is. I didn't mean that in a condescending way, Michal. New Jersey gets even worse than it is, but so it gets even... No one will drink the water unless it's filtered. So then what happens? That means our water has two parts in it. It has the gook, and there's the water, the H2O, that we do want. So there, since everybody, or the majority of the people, not Jews, majority of people, 51% of the population, will only drink this water filtered, that defines the water as having two separate meaning. There's the dirt, the chemicals, all the nuclear stuff that is growing in the New Jersey water, and separate from that you have H2O. And therefore, those will be two different meaning, and you're going to separate that on Shabbos, that's aser. They're two meaning. So therefore, as things are now, I don't think that's the case. I think that majority of people will be willing to drink, if they had to at least, if they were in a park and wanted a drink from the tap, they would, and therefore you can filter water in New Jersey. And then finally, we talked about what will be if you want to filter, not for sanitary or hygienic or health purposes or even taste purposes, but rather for halachic purposes, let's just finish this, and for halachic purposes, which is the case that there are some people, people like Kufal Rav Schechter here in YU, that for halachic purposes want to filter the water in Washington Heights to take away the copepods. And we explained that Rav Schechter permitted the use of a filter attached to the tap based on a number of things that he put together. First of all, there are many poskim who allow drinking water in Washington Heights. There is no halachic problem with it. Rabbi Belsky holds that way. Rabbi Willig holds that way. So that's first of all. There are those who hold that there's no problem with water. There's nothing in the water. Those bugs, ignore them. They're not halachically problematic. Secondly, even if they are usher, there are some poskim who hold that if the only reason why you're filtering out is for halachic reasoning, that's not considered filtering. That's not considered borer. We only look at borer, according to some poskim, as separating physical components for physical reasons, but not if you're doing it only for halachic reasons. So he's adding that to the pot. Thirdly, even there are those who say, even according to those who say that you're not allowed to separate filter for halachic purposes, but who's to say that when you turn on your tap right now in this flow of water, there are going to be any copepods filtered? It doesn't happen every time you turn on the tap. That's the third point. And the fourth point is an idea from Dayan Weiss. Dayan Weiss, Rav Yitzchak Weiss, was the Av Beis Din of the Badatz. I think he passed away just a few years ago, not so long ago. And he was very well known. He was very well liked by the women of Yerushalayim because he gave everybody a heter to not have to fast. So whenever somebody didn't want to fast, the address was go to Dayan Weiss, and you wait online long enough, you'll get to see him, and you'll get a heter, and you won't have to fast for whenever, Yom Kippur, Yom Tisha, but whatever it is, he'll figure out a way, you're not going to fast. So Dayan Weiss was very, very beloved by the Nashim Tzidkaniyos of Yerushalayim. So besides this kula, he has another kula that regards to us, where he says that if something is just part of the tap, and you use it when you're washing your dishes, when you're washing your hands, you're not doing anything separate or distinct. It's just part of what you're doing. That's not considered borer. And therefore, Rabbi Schechter put all these four different kulas together, including this opinion of Rabbi Diane Weiss, to say that Rabbi Schechter holds, Rabbi Schechter holds, one does have to filter the water in Washington Heights, but given all these opinions, it will be permitted to do so on Shabbos with a filter that is attached to the tap and it stays there. So somebody just followed up on the shiur last week, and I was talking to them, and I actually did see on Amazon.com that the easy filter, which does screw on, is only $18.99. That's not a commercial any which way. I'm not telling you that you have to filter your water. But that is what we're talking about. As opposed to a Brita filter, where it's something that is a special action designed to filter it, and you only do that for your water that you drink, but not for washing, not for dishes. There, that would be a problem in Washington Heights, according to Rav Schechter. So Rav Schechter, halacha lemaisa, would be makel to use a permanent filter that attaches to your tap, but not a Brita. That was last week, and now I'll take questions on what we just said. In a minute, yeah.
Most permanent filters, that I've seen at least, they have the metal attachment that screws on the tap, and within that they have some sort of filter that you insert. So wouldn't that actually be a disposable filter? Because the insert that's actually filtering.
No, right.
Holding it in place.
Right. The metal thing that you screw on is just holding the filter stuff. But actually, that's not really what happens. What happens is that metal thing that you screw on has a metal mesh filter that's part of it. So the stuff that the soft thing, the cotton ball or something that looks like a cotton ball that you're putting in, is just to prevent it from getting clogged up. But either way it would be, it's still going to be okay. Because the point is that it's attached, and you're not doing a separate action to filter the water. That's just how you turn your tap on in your house. So either way it would be okay.
I don't know if it's off topic, but last week was a question about Mishloach Menos and Minim. I was wondering if you had
it. I didn't look it up, I'm sorry. Yeah. Question. It's just like New Jersey, yeah. If you hold like Rabbi Willig, let's say you live in Washington Heights, and you hold like Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Belsky that there's no need to filter water in New York City, so then you just filter it because you like the taste better. So you're a minority in New York City. Most people in New York City are happy to drink tap water, and therefore we are going to ignore your specific opinion because most people in New York City do drink filtered water. Regular tap water. And therefore, you will be able to use a Brita or any other kind of filtering that you want because we don't consider it as though that there's tumina, that there's dirt plus water. Because most of the people just see it as water and happily drink it. So therefore, you are permitted to use a Brita in New York City. Yeah.
Excellent.
So I did see in the postgame that if there's somebody who's an istinus, and you would never drink regular water. So let's say it's not like Los Angeles, and you really would never drink filtered water, no matter. You would only drink filtered water. Let's say you only drink filtered water, right? Let's say you drink only filtered water because that you can't. You would never. If you were dying from thirst in a New York City park, you just ran the New York City Marathon, and there's a water fountain at the end, you will not drink that because it's not filtered. If you're like that, then the poskim do say that you shouldn't filter. But I'm assuming most people aren't like that. If you are, then the halacha would change for you. Okay. Let's start this week's discussion. Until now, we talked about what constitutes two different minim. And now I want to talk about, in order for there to be an issue of borer, there have to be two minim that are mixed together. You have to have a ta'aroves. Ta'aroves means a mixture. Because that's the only problem, separating things that are mixed together, mushed together. What happens in the following? Let's just start with something that's a little more obvious to us, and then we'll get to something a little bit more complicated. You have a dining room table that you just finished eating Shabbos lunch there. On the dining room table, you have plates that are dirty. You have some napkins that are dirty on the table. You have silverware on the table. and you want to take all the silverware into the kitchen, and then you want to take the plates into the kitchen, and then you want to take all the napkins and throw them in the garbage. By you choosing one set to collect now, I'm going to collect all the silverware now. Then I'm going to, and it's not for immediate consumption. It's not like I'm going to go to the kitchen and have a party on those dirty plates. You just, that's how you want to clear off your table, for probably just so that you could wash them later. So is that going to be a mixture? Do we see this whole dining room table as one big mess of a mixture of a tarovis of dirty napkins and plates and dirty silverware? In which case, I can't just pick out something for not immediate consumption. I can't just pick out the silverware and bring them to the kitchen and take the plates and bring them to the kitchen and collect the napkins and bring them to the garbage. Or do we say, that's not a mixture. They're just spread out over the table. So what would you say? Let's just take a vote. Who would say that that's called a mixture and you would not be able to just pick out what you want? You would not be able to just gather all the silverware and go to the kitchen. Who thinks that that would be correct? Okay. Who thinks that it's too big of a, it's spread out too spread outly? What's the opposite of dense?
Dispersed.
Yeah, it's spread out too dispersedly to be considered a tarovis. And therefore, you could just take all the things that you want because they're not mixed together. Okay, so a few of us think that way. Most of us don't think at all. Fine. Yes, that is correct. It's too dispersed to actually be considered a tarovis. And therefore, of course, you can go around the table, collect all of the silverware, and then collect all the napkins and throw them out, and collect all the plates and then bring them to the kitchen. Let's get a little bit more. Hold on 1 second, then we'll talk about everything together. Let's get a little bit more focused on details. Let's say you have on your plate some leftover pieces of whatever's left of the chicken and whatever's left of the salad that didn't go so well, and there's a fork there. So you don't plan on using that fork and eating something in the kitchen. You plan on taking that fork to the kitchen so it could be taken care of much later. So it's not for immediate consumption. Can you remove the fork and bring it to the kitchen, leaving all the food on the plate? Now, again, before we were just talking about the table, now we're talking on the plate, is there a mixture of dirty food, not dirty food, garbage on your plate, the leftover food, and that's mixed with your fork? Is that considered a mixture? No, that's not considered a mixture either. Why? Because a fork is something that you could see independently. It's something that has a distinct, a mixture means you have to look to discern, to separate something. If something is so distinct and so clearly separated visually, that's not a mixture. Again, the problem is with these halachas, there's no strict halachic definition that any sefer can give you of what is considered too smushed together to be a mixture, or what's too so spread out that it's definitely not a mixture and you can just take whatever you want whenever you want. It's sort of, there's a little bit of judgment here. So a fork is considered a separate, distinct unit from the garbage on the plate, easily recognizable. You could take your fork out, even though it's not something that you're going to use miyad, take the fork out, bring it to the kitchen, and leave it there. However, if the fork was buried underneath whatever food you have on the plate, so the mixture was such that it was covering over your fork, you would not be able to fish out the fork, take it out, and bring it to the kitchen. Because again, you're not using that fork now. The fork is not going to be used miyad for immediate consumption. And you, by fishing out the fork, you're taking something, even if you want it, it's ochel mitoch psolas, but it's not for immediate consumption. So if the food is covering over the silverware, that will be a problem. How do you deal with that? What? Yeah, go to that whoever that guest was, assuming that they're clean and healthy, and just eat a little bit of that. Yeah, okay, so we'll have to think of some creative solution for that. We just mentioned the idea of things being very distinct. Let's talk about your refrigerator right now. You look into your fridge, and what do you see there? There's a pot of this, a bowl of that, a can of this, a jar of that. And you want the thing in the back. So could you sort of take stuff out? Let's not talk about the thing in the back. because that is just might just be removing things that are in the way of you reaching to something deeper in. Let's say, can I just, do I have to think about Bora when I look in my fridge and like take things out? Could I say, I don't want this, I don't want this, yeah, I'm going to take that? Or do I have to specifically reach in to get what I want and take that what I want out, that which I want out? Well, the question is my shelf in the refrigerator a taroves or is it not a taroves? So let's think, what could be on the shelf? If we have a pot and a jar and a bowl, those things are large, distinct, different shapes. There's no taroves. You could see, you look in your fridge and you clearly see large things that are separate and distinct. You could take whatever you want, leave whatever you want. There's no bora there. That's not considered a taroves. If, however, let's think about the milchika shelf. You have lebens, and you have yogurts, and you have cottage cheeses, and sour creams, and butters, and cream cheese, and they're all pretty much the same kind of shape, and they're all pretty much the same kind of height. They have different colors on the labels, that's true, and they're all scattered around, so they're not so distinct one from the other. You know, the tub of butter, and of cream cheese, and of cottage cheese, and of sour cream are all pretty much the same shape. And my lebens, and my lye yogurts, and my yogurts are all pretty much similar shapes. Again, there's a little bit different, but that's, you know, that's similar enough. They're not so distinct like a pot as opposed to a jar, as opposed to a can of, you know, a cup, you know, a pitcher, not a pitcher, a thing of milk, a quart of milk, and an apple that's sitting on your shelf. No, if they're all the milchika, you know, the cheese things, the milky things, that could be more of a taroves because they are similar. They do look a little bit alike. And there would be an issue that would be a taroves, and there would be a problem of borer, and of course you'd have to follow all three tana'im if you wanted to, for example, get the sour cream for shalosh shudas and not the cottage cheese, you would have to be aware of borer issues. Yeah?
If earlier we said that the color of an item does not cause a borer issue.
That means that if you have two things that are the same species, mm-hmm. They're essentially the same, they only differ in color, that the color, the difference in color won't make it into a separate species.
So then my question is that
if you have pink cottage cheese and you have green cottage cheese, that's it. Oh,
no, but
hold on. Ketchup. Everybody remember green ketchup? Okay, green ketchup. No faces, please. Green ketchup, let's assume it tasted the same. It's different only in color. It's the same in purpose. It's the same in flavor. It's only different in color. And you have a whole bunch of bottles and you want to, right? Then it didn't sell so well. So you don't want to bring out the green ketchup. It freaks out your kids. So you want to take the green ketchup and move it away. To wherever you want. To the garbage, let's say. Are you allowed to do that on Shabbos? There, since it's different in color, it's the same min. There's no borer. And then, yes, you could take the green ketchup, take it out of the mixture of all the other ketchups, and throw it out. Even though it's psolas, that's okay because it's all one min. Why is it only one min? It's a different color. That's right, because colors don't make something considered two different meaning.
Okay.
So
yeah? Then yogurt flavors would be the same way. Of like
yogurt flavors? Flavors means it's a different flavor. Let's take a vote. Is strawberry and blueberry the same flavor? No. I think you were voted down.
4% cottage cheese different.
Great questions. 1% versus 4% cottage cheese different. That's a very, very good question. That's a really good question. I don't know the answer. That's a very good question. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nehiyah bidvarav. If you were the person who would never in a billion years ever eat 4% cottage cheese, then it might be a problem. If you would eat both, then I don't know if it would be a problem. Let's think about it. Questions? Okay. I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago. I don't remember if we did or didn't, but it applies at this point. Let's say, I think we mentioned in the first class possibly. Let's say you are clearing off your Shabbos table and we definitely did because I remember you were talking about dropping your heirloom, whoever that nice person who's helping you clear your table, drops that beautiful silver spoon that you got from your great-great-great-grandmother in Vilna, who used to be a silversmith, whose last name used to be Rothschild, and they dropped that spoon into your garbage, right? So when you want to fish out that silver spoon, it's not because you want to use it now, it's because you just don't want it going down the chute with all the other, you know, banana peels and whatever else you have in your garbage can. So there, what are you doing? It's definitely a mixture. Is it distinct? I mean, on a plate, it's distinct from the garbage. But in a garbage bag, it's like there are lots of different shaped things in a garbage bag. Some are long, some are round, some are square, all different kinds of shapes. So if it would be fallen into the garbage bag already, then you would not just be able to take it out, save it from the trash, and put it in your sink to wash later. You'd have to, of course, you're not going to leave it there, so you can engineer for yourself an immediate use. You'd have to say, I want that spoon right now so I can have a sip of whatever. You grab that, you fiddle around till you find that spoon, you take it out. I think it permitted to probably rinse it quickly, and you go take a spoonful of whatever it is that you want to take a spoonful of or that you don't want to take a spoonful of, but you're doing so that you could save your heirloom spoon. Of course, when you have a freezer, freezers are not so, I don't know about your freezer. My freezer is not arranged as neatly as our shelves in the fridge, probably because they're not shelved in the same way. It depends on your freezer. But if you have a freezer that you just stuff things in as well as you're able to, there, of course, they're all bags or boxes of whatever frozen items, which are not so distinct like the things that you have sitting on your fridge shelf. So therefore, you should be aware of borer when you take things out of your freezer. Let's now begin to talk about svarim. Let's say you have svarim on a shelf. Are you allowed to take out, let's say it's Shabbos, could you take out your Shabbos sitter or your, let's say it's Sefer Brachos now. Can you take out a Brachos? Of course, because that's miyad. You're going to use it now. Biyad, you don't have a kli that's, you know, a special machine that takes out Brachoses. So it's biyad, and it's what you want, the Sefer that you want. However, let's say you wanted to, on your way to shul, you're going to take out the Brachos because you want to do parsha questions during lunch, so you're going to leave it at the, you know, at your seat at the table so that when you come back, two and a half hours later, after Shacharis, there's going to be a Brachos sitting there. So you did Ocha Mitoch HaPsolas, and you did a Biyad, but you did not fulfill the Miyad criteria. And therefore, if you took out the Brachos to use during lunch 2.5 hours later, that's going to be an Issur D'oraisa. Yeah, sounds like an Issur D'oraisa, because you didn't fulfill the requirement of Miyad, of immediate consumption. If you want to take it out right before the meal, right before you're going to ask the parasha questions, that would, of course, be fine. Let's say, yeah, go ahead.
Why wouldn't that be like svarim just being like the same type of min? Like, why is that any different than what we're talking about apples?
Which way are you saying?
It's all like...
You're saying that they all should be one min?
Yeah.
So you wouldn't mind if it's Vayikra this Shabbos? I would.
Yeah, but you want the, whatever, this, if you went to like the example of like the apples, so like... All sweet apples, and I'm talking about the Granny
Smith. I think svarim by nature, the whole point of them is the information within them, and the information is vastly different from sefer to sefer. As opposed to an apple, which it tastes a little bit like this or a little bit like that, it's not like like your physics book is not going to go so far for Rosh Hashanah Machzor, and your Rosh Hashanah Machzor is not going to help you so much pass your physics exam. The apple, you like Cortland's, but it's a Fuji today. You live with it.
In which case, what would happen if, let's say, you have 10 different types of shemosh on the shelf, but they're all arranged by partial, so you're gracious your shemosh on the shelf, would be bored to select just one of the shelf. I want this version, not that version.
Again, if you're using it right now, certainly fine. You're saying, let's say you want to use something later.
Yeah.
Let's say you have, okay, so the base medrash over here in YU, that's exactly how they have it. They have a full shelf, or if you go to a shul, let's say where they don't just have the Chamisha Chamshe Torah, they have a full shelf of Brachoses, a full shelf of Shmoses, and some are Mikros Gedoluses, some are Malbim, some are Nur, some are older. So let's assume that's like one min, maybe, because here they're at least all Brachoses. They're a little different. Some are Mikros Gedolus, some aren't. Let's assume that's all one min. So then, would you be able to take out a Brachos if you don't care which one you're taking? If you care that it's a Mikros Gedolus as opposed to a regular one?
One that has a clear script.
So then you do care. So that might be... that. I don't know. I have to think about that. I don't know. I'm not sure. Let's say something. Let's talk about something that is a little bit more applicable to our discussion. Let's say you have a pile on the table. Let's say you were preparing some kind of shiur or some kind of Dvar Torah, and you had like 6 svarim on the table, and I want to put them back. So, could you sort of take the 3? You know, there's the number 1, book number 4, and book number 7 on the bottom of the pile. All go, you know, in the bedroom, and books number 2, 3, 5, and 6 go in the dining room. So could you take out 1, 3, and 7, I don't remember if I got the numbers right, and bring them to the other room? So they're in a pile. They're not neatly shelved on a, you know, on a shelf that you could see each one's label, even if you could see the sides, but they're not neatly set up so that they're easily takeable from a shelf. They are a pile, and therefore they're a taroves, and you will not be able to take book number 1, 3, and 7 to where it has to go. That would be considered borer. If on the shelf there is the malbim that you want, and there's the whatever other sefer that you want, and whatever other sefer that you want, there you will be able to take what you want, as long as you're using it now, because that's not even considered a taroves. So wait, let me think about something for a second. It could be, what I said before might have been incorrect. I'm sorry. I think if you have things that are neatly arranged on a shelf and are easily identifiable, that's not considered a mixture at all. And therefore, you will be able to take it out for lunch. I apologize. I made a mistake a few minutes ago. A few minutes ago, I said that if on your way to shul, you take out the brachos to use for parsha questions during lunch, if you do it a few hours early, that's a problem. I take that back. I think that was a mistake. If it's on the shelf neatly arranged vertically with the print facing you, and it's identifiable as normal books sit on the shelf, that's not considered a taroves. And therefore you can, since it's not a taroves, you could take it off the shelf and put it down even if you're going to use it later, a few hours later. I apologize for that mistake. If they are mixed up, that's when we're going to have, let's say the books are backwards or something, then they are mixed up, that would be a taroves, or they're in the pile, that would be a taroves, and then you cannot separate them unless you're going to use, of course, if you want to just take the top one and put it away, that's fine. Or, let's say it's dark. Let's say you go to a room and it's dark. This was a question that was asked to Moshe Feinstein. Let's say it's dark, and you go to the room where, let's say the bedroom where there's no light on, and you go to your bookshelf and you want to take out that sefer that you want. So if you're going to sort of have to, you know, go through a bunch of them, you don't know which one is the right one. So Ramosha says that, let's first say what the problem. What's the problem? That if it's dark, they're not easily identifiable. So this would be considered a taroves. And then if you're going to sort of choose which one you want, so if you're going to do it for right now, that's okay. That's miyad, biyad, ochem yitoch psolas. But if you're going to prepare it for tomorrow morning, meaning, let's say tomorrow morning you want to be able to learn right before you go to shul, you want to have the sitter that you want, that you like in the morning. So for you to check through at night, they're not easily recognizable because it's dark there. And therefore, if you would take things out now for tomorrow morning, it is a real mixture, and it's not miyad. There, Moshe says you'd have to actually take out a sefer, read a line, meaning use it miyad, and then decide what you want to do with it. Either take it to, you know, put it near the door on your way out tomorrow, or put it back. So again, what I'm trying to say, and this might be a little bit confusing, is if it's during the daytime, so the things that you see on the shelf are clear, that's not a taroves. If it's during the night, that same shelf is now a mixture. And therefore, you'll have to follow all the parameters of a mixture, and it will have to be only for use that is miyad, immediate, and not for tomorrow morning. And therefore, if you do want to take something out for tomorrow morning, you have to engineer an immediate consumption, which would be to just read one line from a sefer. That's considered an immediate consumption. Question? If that would be the case, then you'd have to look at each, you'd have to read a line from the sefer svarim that you take out.
Is that considered like the way, because it's so dark you can't see which one is the way, so you can pull out?
So if you have to take a bunch out, you'd have to look at each one you have to read a pasuk in each one or a mishnah from each one.
Is that like peeling an orange?
No, no. Peeling an orange is that I can't access the flesh of the orange unless I remove the outer peel. That's not like this. Right, but it's not that you can't access it. You just don't know which one. I think if it's light out, then it's not considered a mixture at all, and you can just take whatever sefer you need, even for a few hours later. No, if it's stacked up, that is considered a taroves. Well, yeah, if you want to look at something right now, then that's always going to be fine. That just is annoying. Yeah, yeah, that's correct. You're allowed to play games. You're allowed to engineer an immediate use, yes. Excellent question. So could you, like, run your hand? You know the high, you know, let's say you have leather machzor. You know the soft leather machzorim that you got when you were bas mitzvah, so they're, like, pink? So you run your hand over your bookshelf, and you could feel that fluffy, leather-bound, you know, the shmushy, you know what I mean? Feels a little bit like a pillow. You could feel that machzor. So could you sort of just run your hand and feel for, you know, try to feel for that shmushy machzor? I don't know. I'm not sure. I think that would probably be considered, you know, choosing something. So if you're not going to use, if you're going to use it now, that's great. But if you're not going to use it now, it's for tomorrow morning when you go to shul on Rosh Hashanah morning. I think that would probably be a problem. Not positive, but that's what I would think. Good question. Okay, let's now. Any questions about Svarim? Okay, let's now talk about a very different kind of issue. And that is, and we spoke 2 weeks ago when Rav Avadia Yosef Zatzal was nifter, we shared a thought from him, but he has a tremendous kula in the following scenario. You and I have learned, since we learned Hilchos Shabbos and learned Torah the first time around, that if you have, you know, the waiter, there's a fly in my soup, so what is he going to tell you?
We apologize if you feel as
on us. No, you didn't hear the joke? Waiter, there's a fly in my soup, so take it out. Oh, okay. That's how the joke goes? Okay, there are different versions, different gersos. So what happens if there's a fly in your soup? So you all learn that, of course, it's psoles and your soup is the ochel, so you cannot take out the fly from your soup. And therefore, you can take a spoon and lift up, like, you know, soup with fly, and you're not discriminating between Mr. Fly and Mr. Soup, and that's how you remove the fly from your soup. That's what you all learned. The reason why you all learned that is because you didn't go to Sephardi yeshivas. But if you would have gone to a yeshiva that follows Rav Avadia Yosef, Rav Avadia Yosef follows lehalacha the opinion of the Maharitatz, Mahari Tzahalon. He was Sephardi. Tzahalon is not an Ashkenazi name. I don't know where he lived, probably in a place called Tzahalon or something like that. But the Maharit Tzahalon says that whenever you have liquids with solids, that's not considered a mixture. In the same way that that fork is a distinct, independent, discrete unit, separate and apart from the garbage sitting on your plate. And in the same way that that pot is a distinct, discrete unit from the bowl of whatever else that's sitting on the shelf next to it in your refrigerator, so too, says the Maharit Tzahalon, the solid that's in a liquid is distinct and apart and distinct and separate because everything's liquid, and this is solid. So, of course, they're two separate things. That's not called a taroves. And therefore, he says that whenever you have liquids with solids, there's no mixture there. And there you could get rid of the psoles. You could take a tweezers, get that fly, and throw them away. You could, for example, we'll see some other applications, actually, in a moment. For better or for worse, you and I, most of us here are Ashkenazim, we do not follow that Maharit Tzahalon. And we assume that liquid and solids are somewhat, you know, are considered somewhat of a taroves, unless it's very clear. So if, for example, you have like water, let's say before Shabbos, you boiled up eggs. You have 7 hard-boiled eggs in a pot of water. So is that a mixture? I think the eggs are pretty discreet, big, discrete units separate from the water. So why is that important to ask? Could you pour off the water? When you empty your egg pot, what do? Do you take the eggs out or do you pour the water out? What do they do in Los Angeles? I take the water out too. Wow. Okay. So, in Los Angeles, what are they? What are they doing? You take the, oh, this is the machlok is in Los Angeles alone. Wow. I hear. Okay. So let's assume you want to just pour the water out. So is that pouring out the water? Wait, the water is what you don't want. That's solus mitocha ochel. You're not allowed to pour water out on Shabbos of what you want. You have you're keeping what you want. You're throwing. You're removing. You're taking out the psolas. That's usur, isn't it? So that's not usur because that's not a tarovis. Eggs and water are not a tarovis. Eggs are big, chunky things. You don't consider it mu'urav mixed together with the water. There's an egg and then there's water around it. So it's mutar l'chatchila to pour the water out. That's not a tarovis. Similarly, if you have a pickle in juice, listen to this. If you want to pour out, let's say there are like three pickles left in the whole big jar of juice, and you're having some guests, you're going to be serving three pickles. So you want to pour out all the liquid. You don't want that liquid. Is that removing the psolas from the ochel? Well, here, since the pickles are big, chunky pickles, it doesn't look like pickle juice. There's pickles, and then there's pickle juice. They're two separate, distinct things. That's not a tarovis. And therefore, if there's no tarovis, there's no halacha of borer. And you could throw out what you don't want. You could pour out all that pickle juice that you don't want, all the psolas, just get rid of it. And what are you left with? Whatever you wanted. You're left with your pickles. There, it's clear. Questions? No, we'll talk about that. Oh, you're saying big vegetables. Okay. We'll have to see how big is big, and you know, that's going to be the issue. How discreet is it? Most people don't put whole potatoes in their soup. Usually, potato pieces. Yeah. Hold on. We'll see in a minute. I did. We'll see soon. We'll see soon. Yeah. Excellent question. So Makasim is asking, if you're allowed to pour the water out, could I take out those eggs with a slotted spoon? Wow, a kli. You have to do, usually everything has to be biyad, right, with your hands, not with a kli. So the answer is, and that's a very excellent question because you understand exactly what we're saying. There is no tarovis, there's no halacha of borer. Yes, you can use your slotted spoon, you could use your kli to lift out that egg and to lift out that pickle. Correct. Excellent point. What? Slotted spoon to take out your pickle. Yes. Okay. Now let's get into more stickier questions like corn, for example. Let's say things are not so big and clear and distinct and separate from the liquid. They're a little bit smaller. Let's say, for example, you have olives. You get a can of olives from Kvutzat Yavne or something like that. I went to Yeshiva at Keren B'Yavne and I used to jog on Friday afternoons. That was my exercise for the week. I used to jog around the kibbutz's Keren B'Yavne, where I went to yeshiva. It was right next to Kvutzat Yavne, Kibbutz Yavne. And they had fields that were adjacent to the yeshiva. So Friday afternoon, my exercise for the week would be I would jog through the Pardesim all around. So all those olives that you buy in those cans from Kvutzat Yavne, I used to jog through those olive fields. Next time you have an olive from Kvutzat Yavne, you could think of me. So if you have olives in the water, so let's think about it. There's a sefer called Orchas Shabbos, which is a wonderful sefer, which I used a little bit to prepare this. He made the following distinction. If you have all the liquid, and there are like one or two, maybe three olives there, just a few olives. So the olives are very distinct, recognizable, separate from the rest of the liquid. But if you have a can full of olives, meaning it's a can full of liquid and olives, olive juice, I don't know what you call it, it's not olive oil, it's just the water that they're sitting in, the brine, and all the olives that are sitting there, that is like a mixture. Similar thing with Ophira, with your can of corn. If you have, corn, little pieces of corn with water, there's like, you pick up a spoon, it's not like one comes out, it's either liquid or it's a piece of corn. No, you lift up a spoon and there's a whole bunch of both of them there. That's not so distinct. The corn, little pieces of corn is not so distinct from the liquid. When you have small pieces, when you have a lot of pieces, And therefore, that would be considered a ta'arovis. So even though we said that eggs or big pickles in your water or your pickle juice is not considered a ta'arovis, if the items are smaller and the water is more interspersed with them, that would be considered a ta'arovis. And therefore, if you had a whole jar full of olives and you wanted to pour out the liquid or take the olives out with a slotted spoon, that would be a problem. Because here, they are considered a ta'arovis, and it would be borer to pour out the liquid that you don't want or to use a slotted spoon to remove the liquid that you don't want.
So then a sliced pickle would also be an issue.
Correct. A sliced pickle would also be a problem. If it's a can full of sliced, if it's a jar full of sliced pickles, you would not be able to spill out the liquid. Excellent. However, just keep in mind, this is an important point. Let's say you have a jar of sliced pickles, and you already ate the top half of the pickles. Meaning, you already ate, it's 4 inches high. The top 2 inches are only brine and not pickles. So you have the two bottom 2 inches have pickles in them, but all 4 inches of the height are still full of the liquid. There, the top 2 inches are not considered ta'arovis. So you'd be able to pour off the top 2 inches of pickle juice because there's no ta'arovis there. And then when you get to the part where it's sort of mixed, that would be a ta'arovis, and there you would not be able to spill out the pickle juice or use a slotted spoon.
So if there's not so much, like let's say you have your jar of olives or a can of olives, there's not so much of the brine at the bottom, can you still use a clean again of your stuff? Because there shouldn't really be ta'arovis, it's just the brine at the bottom of the can.
If it's not a ta'arovis, then it's not a ta'arovis. It's hard to sort of figure out exactly. I'm not sure.
So how much brine makes it?
When they're sitting in it. I mean, usually pickles are sitting in the liquid. They're suspended within the height. You know, the liquid usually is the height of the is over the head of the olives usually. Yeah.
Are you allowed to use like a colander to drain large fruits and vegetables?
What do you mean drain large fruits and vegetables?
They're wet and you have them to get dry, so you put them in those bowls with holes in them so they can.
That's a great question. That sounds like you're using a tool. If I'm not mistaken, colander is about as bad as it could get. What you're saying, maybe it's not a ta'arovis because it's just the water on the outside of the fruit. That we have to think about. But when you use a colander, that's a tool designed to do borer. But that's not a mixture. So here, if we say it's not a mixture, I hear what you're saying. That we have to think. I'm not sure. I have to think about that. Maybe we'll see something later that might relate to that. Yeah. Uh-huh. And you don't mind, you want to pour out some of the olive liquid, and you don't mind if some olives fall out? That's fine.
So you have to let some olives fall out.
Yeah, because otherwise you're separating. Yeah, you're separating. There's too much liquid here. That means you don't want liquid. That's called psolus mitocha ochel. And you have a ta'arovis, and you want to get rid of the psolus. That's not okay. Big pickles. Yeah. There's no mixture there, so the sugya of borer doesn't begin. There are no halachas attached to this. You could do whatever you want. There's no halachas of borer anymore. Okay? It doesn't have to be biyad, it doesn't have to be alchem mitoch psolus, it doesn't have to be miyad. Yeah, I think as far as I understand. Because it's just not a ta'arovis. Borer only applies to a ta'arovis. Okay, so of course, we paskin not like the Maori tats that I told you before, and if you have a fly in your soup, my friends, you will have to. And this is how the Mishnah Berurah says, you will have to take out your spoon with soup or with tea or whatever else your bug is swimming in. Take out your bug and your soup, spill them both out together, say goodbye to both your friendly bug and your soup that you will not be able to drink, and then you can now enjoy the rest of your soup, as I'm sure all of you will enjoy so much. Yes. That we're going to talk about when we find out the gether of what does it mean to you that it has to be biyad with your hands. Is a fork just like your hands? Is a fork like a kli that separates? So the short answer is going to be it's going to be okay, but we're going to learn about that probably at the very end of Hilchos Borer, what the definition of biyad with your hand means. Yeah. Great question. We'll be there in just about 3 minutes, okay? I want to just point out a fascinating thing. Okay, without that. You're drinking it, you're eating yogurt. And what's the annoying thing when you buy yogurt? Is it really the whey? I wasn't sure if it's whey or just waterish. Is it called whey? Is that the official name? For the stuff on top, we call it whey. When you buy yogurt and that water on top, that's called whey? Great. Okay, so we'll call it whey, just for convenience purposes. I hope I'm right. Hope we're right. So you want to pour out the whey, and you just want your curds, because we're your little miss... Muffet? Tuffet? Okay. Okay.
It's your fault.
Okay. So if you want to pour off the liquid, are you allowed to pour off that liquid from the top of your yogurt? So what are you doing? You have yogurt that you do want, you have liquid that you don't want, so you're pouring off the psolas mitoch ha'ochel, aren't you? So first we have to ask ourselves, is this a tarovas at all? So it depends how firm the yogurt is. If it's good quality Danon yogurt, or Mahajan actually is also very good quality yogurt, then it is a firm kind of yogurt, and the liquid on top is distinct and separate, and it is okay to pour off that way. If you have a softer kind of yogurt, usually the cheaper yogurts, or just whatever, softer yogurt, some people maybe like it. And the whey and the yogurt is sort of, you know, I don't want to say intertwined, that's not the right word, but they're sort of, help me.
Meshed.
Enmeshed, whatever they are, they're sort of smushed together. So then when you're pouring out your whey, there was a tarovis there. You're pouring out the psoles, mitoch ha'ochel, that is borer. And therefore, you have to sort of be aware of what kind of yogurt you're eating when you pour out your whey from your yogurt. Let's finish off with 2 points. How many people here? No one's recording this. How many people here dab their pizza to get the oil off? Okay, so let's say you have pizza on Shabbos. I don't know who has pizza on Shabbos. Let's say that idea of doing separating the oil from your pizza. Again, we're not talking that you're squeezing anything out. You're not allowed to squeeze liquids out. We're not talking about squeezing. We're just taking a napkin or a paper towel, just putting it on top of your pizza on Shabbos. Let's say you're having a special Shabbos pizza or something. So here, is that oil... It's the min. It's the min of the cheese. It's part of. Is the oil and the cheese 2 min or 1 min? Well, the answer that it depends on is what normal people do. What the majority of people. I shouldn't say normal. I don't want to offend anybody. What do the majority of people do? In my humble opinion, the majority of people who eat pizza, maybe it's just because I'm a guy. Majority of people don't de-oil their pizza, and therefore oil and the pizza. It's all 1 min. People just see it as one. If you want to take off some of the oil, you're doing something that's separating you're separating the min from one part of the min from the other part of the min. That's not separating 1 min from anything else, because there's only 1 min here. And therefore, it would be okay. But if, for example, you have latkes, I think almost everybody who makes latkes, who usually fries them in deep fried, even if it's not deep fried, usually when you put your latkes out of the frying pan, you put it onto a plate that has some kind of paper towel on it to absorb the oil. So there I think most of the people do separate in their minds, there's oil and there's my latke, and I want my oil off my latke. These are two different things. That would be defined, therefore, as two minim, and you would not be able to dab your latkes. Again, no, not talking about squeezing, but even to take the oil out of the latkes, because that would be two separate minim, because most people consider it as two separate minim, and that would be a problem. Yes.
Another distinction there, though, is that the oil on the cheese is originated from the cheese, but the oil on the...
I hear that. I hear what you're saying. I have to think about it. That's a good point. I'm not sure what to do with it. You're right. I'm not sure what to do with it. That's a good point. Yes.
What about what's happening on the pizza? Let's give an example of the top. Like, in my house, we do pickles on pizza, but like they're not baked on the pizza.
So what's the question? Could you take, if your little brother doesn't like the mushrooms on the mushroom pizza, could he put the mushrooms off? Do we consider the mushrooms as distinct?
There's a difference between if it's cooked on versus the topping. It's just,
if it's a tarovis, it's a tarovis. If it's not a tarovis, it's not a tarovis. We just have to think about, is a slice of pickle or a piece of mushroom or a slice of olive on a pickle, is that a tarovis or not? If you would ask me, I think it's probably a tarovis. If they're small pieces, I would think that's a tarovis. A full slice of pickle?
Quarter of pickle.
Oh, a quarter of a pickle? Maybe that's not a tarovis. You have to... I'm not sure. I don't know. Maybe in Chicago they do that. In the Northeast, we don't put pickles on. So, Bezus Hashem, next week we'll talk about emptying tuna fish cans of the oil. We'll start with that, Bezus Hashem.